You're listening to Mark Toth's message, Love at Work, part of the sermon series, God at Work, at Eastbrook Church. We welcome you to join us for our weekend worship services on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. For more information and additional resources, please visit eastbrook.org.
We are in the midst of our God at Work series, and today's topic is love at work. Studies show that when a lawyer speaks, people tend to either doze off or leave the room entirely. So we're going to try to avoid that here today. Studies also show that if you make something a competition, people actually stay awake. So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to divide this room right down the middle here into two teams. This will be the East team. This will be the West team. So it's East versus West in an epic, no-holds-barred, fight-to-the-finish cage match, which is sort of like the American workplace. So may the best team win. I'll be your referee and scorekeeper. And if you're playing along at home, the PowerPoint is there for you to review while we're going through this, and you can just shout out the answers in your living room. Okay, so we did a little survey before the sermon and before the service out in cyberspace asking Christians and some of you in this room what you think about work. Here's one question we asked. If you had to describe work in one word, what would it be? Here are your answers. Quite the variety. My favorite is the person who defined work in one word as work, probably a lawyer. But you can see there's a huge difference. We got boring, frustrating, challenging, busy, hard, mercenary, but also God-given, great, good, fun, awesome, and joy with an exclamation point. So a lot of different perspectives on work. We also asked this question, how often do you share your faith at work? So we'll start off the competition. 1 point to, just raise your hand, whoever thinks they know the answer that was most popular. Never once in a blue moon, once a month, once a week, once a day, once an hour, once every 0.03 seconds. How often do Christians share their faith at work? Just raise your hand. Yes, sir. He says B, once in a blue moon, and he is correct. Give him a hand. West 1, East 0. So the fine folks at Wikipedia say that once in a blue moon is 486.9999 days. We rounded to 487. Do you think there's room for improvement there? Okay, good. All right, we also asked, what is your number one struggle as a Christian at work? And here's what you said. There's a lot. Fear, time, worry, avoiding gossip, sharing my faith, loving the annoying. Hopefully that wasn't one of my coworkers. And you can see those there. You can look at this in your leisure time if you want to look at the PowerPoint online. There's a lot up there, but the good news is we're going to fix all of that today, right here, right now. And here's how. God's Employee Handbook. There's a lot of advice in the Bible directly about work. We're going to pull some of that together, combined with basically 25 years of employment law and 5 years of downtown Bible study lessons into 30 minutes or less. If any of you are interested, we do have a downtown Bible study that meets at Joey Bona's every Wednesday. It's in your bulletin. Call me, email me. We'd love to have you. I've learned a lot more from people there than they probably learned from me, and all of that is here today for you to see. So here is God's Employee Handbook. In one word, can we all say this together? And the more enthusiastic team will get a point.
Love.
Wow, I'm sorry, West was a little bit more enthusiastic. Give yourself a hand. Love. So love is, if you want to think about nothing else today, you take nothing else from here today, just remember that one little word, love. So here are our key verses today. A lawyer kind of person came up to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And here was Jesus' most excellent response. So let's read this together with gusto. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So next question, how much of the law and prophets hang on those two commandments? I'm just going to look over here. Anybody, raise your hand. Okay, it's good enough. All, very good. So here is God's employee handbook if you want a little more detail in five words. Love God, love others, repeat. So do that. So here is the handbook for people who want a little more detail on one page. Love God, love others, repeat. We're going to start there. God's the boss. Humility works. Honesty is the best policy. Spread joy. Listen and talk good. And for all you English teachers out there, that was an intentional mistake. Don't worry. Trust God. We know all this stuff, but do we really do it? Okay, so I did a little research to make sure I was ready for this, to find out what exactly does the world say love is. Here's how the world defines it. See if you agree. According to philosophers, love is a grave mental disease, a dirty trick played on us to achieve continuation of the species, temporary insanity cured by marriage. That's depressing. How about musicians? The Beatles said, all you need is love. Love will keep us together, or love will tear us apart, or love is a battlefield, or love stinks. That's not very helpful. And according to Hollywood, to love is to suffer. To avoid suffering, one must not love. But then one suffers from not loving. Therefore, to love is to suffer. Not to love is to suffer. To suffer is to suffer. To be happy is to love. To be happy then is to suffer. But suffering makes one unhappy. Therefore, to be unhappy, one must love. Okay, you can all go home now. You know all you need to know. Well, why don't we turn to the expert? The Bible says that God not only likes love or loves love or approves of love, God is love. So let's find out what he says about love. Why don't we read this beautiful passage together? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Does that sound like your workplace? I heard some groans. By the way, the Bible says no grumbling. Does it sound like you in your workplace? Ponder that for a moment. So, here's our next question. How important is love? Even if we can fathom all mysteries and knowledge and have a faith that can move mountains, but don't have love, what do we got? Nothing. So, official score is now 3-2. There it is. Not a zip, zilch, bupkis, doodly squat. That is what we have if we don't love. And here's a great verse to keep in mind at work. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but I don't have love, I am nothing. So if you're at work and you think you're being all Christian-y but you don't have love, you're basically sounding like this. Gong. Remember that. Here's what Jesus said. Who can fill in these blanks? I'm just going to look over here at the east because you need a little help right now. I'll give you a hint. It starts with L and ends in E. Love. A new command I give you. And Jesus repeats it for emphasis. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So, you know, Jesus says this, and, you know, we sometimes need reminding that this is what we need to do. And if, you know, you want people at work to believe that this whole Jesus thing is real and Christianity actually is the truth, what should you do in three words that are on the screen?
Love
one another. Very, very good. Our scientific enthusiasm tracking has it a tie. It's 5-5. Okay, so here's some practical questions to see how this might look like in your workplace. Do you really have to love that annoying coworker who keeps stealing your quinoa, beet, and kale salads out of the company fridge? Yeah. Yes. How about this one? Do you really have to love that guy who keeps taking credit for projects on which you do all the work while he goes golfing practically every day? How about this one? It's even harder. Do you really have to love your boss who gets paid 3 times more than you, even though he does practically no work, and even after he says mean and unfair things in your performance evaluation, and then cuts your pay by 27% for no good reason, and then eventually fires you without explanation on Christmas Day via a text message while he's vacationing with his mistress on his yacht in the Caribbean? Do you have to love that person?
Yes.
Now we... This is a little bit of a... I do a lot of speaking to non-Christian audiences, and your attitude's a little different than theirs. They would not say you should love that person, but let's look at what Jesus says, shall we? Let's say this together. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Okay, we all know that, so what's the problem? Here is what life under our own feeble power can look like. Hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, all the things you see there. Do you see love on that screen? No. So here's our next question. Where does love power come from? God. That's right. Love doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Here's some great verses. Jesus said to his disciples when he was leaving the planet, "It's good for you that I'm going away," which I'm sure they did not believe. But he basically said, "I'm going to leave behind, and the Father will give you another counselor to be with you forever." So we all have our own personal love counselor available 24/7, 365.25, which includes all leap years, in our hearts forever. And then it says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom has been given to us. So that's where love comes from. So here's what life with the Spirit looks like. And what's number one on the list?
Love.
Very good. Love, joy, peace, patience, and all the wonderful things you see there. So should we live full of the Spirit or not?
Yes,
yes we should. Good. All right. So here's our next question to see if you were paying attention about 7 minutes ago. Who is the boss? Are you the boss?
No.
Is your boss the boss?
No.
God's the boss. Very good. So we've covered love God, love others, repeat. God's the boss. So here's a verse for us all to think about. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. What's that first word? Whatever. So if you hate the work you're doing, you're stuck on a project where you're getting no credit, maybe you're shoveling the snow, which might come at some point this year, and you're not getting any credit for that, you're shoveling your neighbor's walk, you're doing all kinds of stuff, whatever you're doing, do it for the Lord, not for men. So here's a question for us all to consider. Ponder in your heart for a moment, whom or what are you really serving in your workplace? Just think about that for a minute. We're going to ponder it together for 10 seconds, starting now. Well, if I'm being honest, if someone were to watch me all day at work, and by the way, God does, what you would see is probably something like, I serve me, and then me, and then me, and then me, and then money, and then me, and then maybe a little bit of God, maybe my earthly boss, maybe a person or two, but then me, and then money, and then me, and then money. Is that okay? You're judging me. No, but it's not okay. Here is what life can look like if you live that way. This is like an abyss. Money sucks you down into a hole. I've been there. It's not fun. It's dark. It's deep. It's terrible. Here's what the Bible says to help us avoid that. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So can you serve both God and money?
No.
Okay, it's now 12 to 11. Very scientific. But wait a minute, isn't that kind of un-American? Aren't we supposed to have great retirement plans and 401ks and all that kind of stuff? And isn't this a country where you pull yourself up by the bootstraps and elbow everybody else down on the way to the top? You know, maybe there's an exception in America. Is there? No. How about that middle there, the third line where it says, if you're devoted to one, let's say you're devoted to money, what does that say your attitude is towards God? You despise God. Think about that for a minute. Okay, let's move on. That's sort of terrifying, but it's the truth. So here's the next question as we move into our next section. According to research, what is the number one most important leadership trait? Is it charisma, proactivity, results orientation, height, coordinating accessories, or humility? Just raise your hand. Let's see. Anyone, raise your hand. Yes. Humility. Very good. Hiding humbly there at the end, it is indeed humility. Studies, this group of non-Christians got together to find out why some organizations do well and others don't. And they were surprised to find out that what it was all about is having a humble leader at the top who can think of others and the organization before themselves. It actually works. When you think of the stereotypical CEO, do you think of humility? Maybe we should. If you want to be CEO, be humble. How about this verse? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. And also, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Sort of like that last piece percolate in your soul for a moment. You know, you might not finish first in the world's eyes if you listen to what we're talking about here today, but you'll finish with God. Is that better?
Yes.
Good. Okay, for those of you who might need help in the humility department, I certainly do from time to time. Here's a great verse. If you play the fool and exalt yourself, or if you plan evil, close your hand over your mouth. If you do that, you can avoid all kinds of problems in the workplace. Okay, next question. What is the best way to get fired fast? Raise your hand. Anyway, how about the balcony up there? You guys awake? Okay. Anybody know how to get fired fast? Apparently, they're all very good employees who would never even think about getting fired. Anyone down here? Yes. Yeah, don't show up. That's a great way to get fired. But according to me, the correct answer is lie. I've handled a lot of workplace disputes over the years, and employers can forgive a lot, but if you breach that trust on something important, it can be over. Let me tell you a sad story. Who here has been to the Burger King out in Delafield, right by I-94? You ever been there? I was part of the actual original operating opening crew for that particular establishment back in the early 80s. It was my very first job. And one day I decided I didn't really want to flip burgers, so I made up a story, called my boss, and told him that my sister had fallen off the stage in a terrible middle school acting accident, which I don't know how I came up with that, but made up this whole story, went golfing, he bought it, and everything seemed fine until the next day when I went to work. My boss said, "Hey, Mark, can you come back here and share that story with us again?" And he had all the employees gathered around. I shared the story. I embellished it even more. Great details. He then said, "Mark, that's really interesting. Your sister just happened to come here for dinner last night and was actually asking for you, and she could walk just fine. So either it was a miracle or you're fired." And it was not a miracle, and I was fired. So please don't be like me at age 16. I've now matured a bit, and I agree with the Bible that honesty is the best policy. Here's a question. What percentage of Americans say they lie routinely? If you get even remotely close, it's now 14 to 13. You get a point for your team. Anyone? 50%. I heard 99 over here. So let's see who's closer. 91% of Americans say they lie routinely. I maybe should have gotten promoted at Burger King. I was just doing what everybody does. So this team gets a point for being closer. Here's what the Bible says. Let's read this together. Speak the truth in love. Here's some verses to help us do that. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. So if you think about it, lying and even flattery is hate. You're not helping people, you're hating them, and it ruins them. Honesty, though, is like heavenly smooches. So think about that. So we've covered love God, love others, repeat. God's the boss, humility works, honesty's the best policy. Spreading joy comes next. Oh, yeah. Thank you. So here's a question Christians always ask. What is God's will for my life? Who here can explain God's will for your life in 20 words or less? If you're remotely close, you'll get 7 points for your team. Anyone? Yes, sir.
Learn to love myself so I can love others.
Love, love, love. I don't know if you heard that. Learning to love ourselves so we can love others. Love is certainly right in the middle. So that's a great answer. I'll give you all 7 points for that. Give him a hand. That's a great answer. Here's another way to look at it. Look at this verse. It might blow your mind. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Think about that. So how often are we supposed to rejoice?
Always.
Always. And pray just when things are going bad? No. Do we only give thanks when we get a promotion or things go well at work or otherwise? No. In all circumstances. We can't do this on our own. I don't know about you, but I need God's help. So if you think about the other points, it's really important to have God in your heart so you can do this. For me, let's say you get hired. It's easy to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. But what if you get fired? Are you supposed to rejoice? Are you supposed to pray? Are you supposed to give thanks? We can trust God with everything. He loves us, and no matter what happens, he's there working for the good of those who love him. So how often should you encourage someone at work? We asked this of the people in cyberspace. How much were they getting encouraged? How much were they encouraging others? Here are the choices. What do you think was the most popular answer for Christians encouraging others? I'll look over here. Again, you're falling behind. Let's raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Once a week.
He is correct. Give him a hand. That was very good. That's worth 7 points, so it's a tie again. Very, very well done. Okay, so how often should we encourage others? Always. Here's the verse. Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. How many days is it called today on? Always. Very good. 7 points. Okay, you both get 7 points. It's 30 to 30. Next. Here's my favorite statistics of this entire presentation. Harvard even agrees with this stuff. They did a survey, they did a study. They found out that high-performing teams, the ratio of positive or encouraging statements to negative ones is 6-1. Low-performing teams, it's 0.3-1. So if you want to be part of a high-performing team, encourage others. Another question, which of the following is scientifically proven to boost your mood and productivity? Surfing the web, drinking coffee, taking a walk, praising a coworker, or listening to music? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. She says D. She would say D. And she's correct. Woohoo, give her a hand. Yes. So encouragement not only helps the encouragee feel better, it helps the encourager feel better. Everybody wins. And if you feel like you need more encouragement, encouraging, here's some encouraging verses. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, so we've done all five. Now we're at listen and talk good. We could do 17 sermons on communication at work, but we put it all into one slide for you. You can study this on your own at home if you'd like, but here are some of the basics. Pray before you open your mouth. Whoever said sticks and stones and all that stuff was a liar. The Bible says that the tongue has the power of life and death. So please pray before you even open your mouth. Jesus said, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So, like we've been talking about, fill your heart with love before you open your mouth. Listen before you open your mouth. I don't know if that comes naturally for you. It doesn't for me all the time. The Bible says, the wise people listen to advice, and to answer before listening is folly and shame. So if you ever find yourself tempted to blab too much, do this. Tame your tongue. It's very effective for people like me, especially, you know, if I had done that at Burger King, maybe I would still be working there. And if you're going to talk after you do all that, spread love, joy, truth, and encouragement, and don't spread hate, lies, gossip, and or grumbles. So that's communication at work, which brings us to don't worry, trust God, which is really the bedrock of everything if you think about it. The world is worried. There's a lot of worrying, hurrying, and scurrying about. It takes us 157% longer to get to work. Once we're there, we're working 32% more, which is about 640 hours more than our parents. 40% of us are sleep-deprived zombies. 2 out of 3 of us are overwhelmed. 400 million unused vacation days last year. 80% of medical claims are now stress-related. And 100% of you, I'm not right now, are dying because in our jobs, mostly now, we just sit around and we're sedentary. Sitting is the new smoking. So congratulations, a lot of frowny, sad, worried people in the workplace. But there's hope. Here's what Jesus said. Let's read this together. It's beautiful. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Soul rest. What could be deeper than that? Okay, to close off before we review, here is a beautiful verse that we're going to actually do for the next 15 seconds. It's hard for Americans to do this, but we're going to be still and know that God is God starting now. Be still. God is God. You're not. Okay. That's hard to do for me anyway, but we need to do that more and more. So let's review what you've learned. Love God, love others, repeat. God's the boss. Number 3, humility works. Number 4, honesty is the best policy. Number 5, spread joy. Number 6, listen and talk good. And number 7, don't worry, trust God. So if we all do all of that together, the world would be a better place. So that's kind of old school review. We're going to do some new school review. Studies show that if you put something into a rhyme or a song, you're far more likely to remember it. I'll demonstrate that. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Okay, that hasn't been on the air in like 4 decades, but almost everybody here knew it. I even heard a toddler say it, I think. But here's what we're going to do. Right now, it is 34 to 33. It's a barn burner. 4 points, enthusiasm counts. We're going to wrap this together with the assistance of DJ Funkmaster Ford. Can we give him a hand, please? Okay, he's going to lay down a tasty beat, and then we're going to rap together. I know this might be uncomfortable for some of you, but just join in whenever you're comfortable. If I can do it, you can do it. Love's how you spell it, live it, give it, show it, tell it. H-A-T-E's O-U-T, man, try an S-P-I-T-E band. Come on, Marcia, come on, Alice, ain't no room for hate and malice. Come on, Bobby, come on, Cindy, love is real, it ain't just trendy. Don't gossip, worry, lie, or grumble, speak the truth and please be humble. Be joyful, pray, encourage always, smile and wave and all your hallways. Be a lover, not a hater. Hurry now, it's getting later. Love, 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 love. It's what we're told from God above. Word, literally. Okay, that was very, very good. I'm not going to reveal the points yet because we have one more thing to do to make this real and bring it out into the world. You know, sometimes we come here, we get all churchy on Sunday. Is that enough? No, we need to take it to Monday. So here's what we're going to do. It's a little something called the love wave. So what we're going to do, on the count of three, starting all the way over there in the West, on the count of three, stand up and yell love if you're able, with all your enthusiasm and joy, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with love, and then roll it across the congregation, symbolically, out into the world to make it a better place. This is for 1 million points. So this might determine our winner. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3, love! Roll it on out, love! Woo! Oh, give yourselves a hand. Okay, I've got to make some calculations here. Let's see. Wow. Boy, that team, guess what? It's a tie. Give yourselves a hand. When it comes to love, everybody wins. You know, we try to divide you into teams and get you competing and discord and, you know, kind of like the American workplace can do to us. But instead, you overcame that. Jesus prayed for us to be in complete unity, one in love, and you demonstrated that beautifully with that little love wave rolling out the door. So congratulations. Everybody's a winner. Let's all keep love rolling at work and beyond. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we need your help to do this. We just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Help us to love you and to love others as we go through our daily lives, whatever they are, Lord. We just pray that you would help us remember that you're the boss, not anyone or anything else. And help us to be humble, to speak the truth in love, to spread joy wherever we go, and to always, always, always trust you no matter what. We love you, Lord. Amen.